All right. Welcome back to the Doomer Bloomer podcast with Will S. and occasionally John Wynn when he feels like it. We are back with Linda Tilson, a guest I had on last year. We spoke about self-image and differing values, specifically health, wealth, and wisdom. I felt it was a fairly powerful episode. Linda is a coach, a mother, a Jill of all trades, really. She does it all. And she's a very special person to me in my life now. And we kept in touch. And I felt it would be well worth it to bring her back to talk about some of her new projects. It's spring. It's a time of renewal. It's time to clear out the clutter of the winter and start pruning, per se, some of the negativity. Like where I'm from, especially, it gets quite dark in the wintertime. And, you know, you can very easily get into a depression phase. But Linda, let's just talk about what you're up to. How are things going with you?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for that really warm welcome. It was an honor and a privilege to be able to go into the discussion we had almost a year ago. And, you know, at that time, I was in the resiliency landscape. Fast forward, I'm in a new space, one of self-care, self-development, that whole renewal of who I am as a person. And you said that, you know, I'm all these different roles, and that's really true. And the role that I want to talk about today is that one that we have for ourselves. That one there is not the easiest one to play. Our real, true, authentic self and the way that we choose to show up and the things that we choose to do. I really have been, I guess, drawn to wanting to figure out how does a person honor who they are and give themselves that same type of love that they might be extending to another person. Because for a very long time, I've been a giver all my life. I've given of myself, my time, my energy, my space to helping individuals move into being that person that has that voice, that person who can be confident, that person that might be in a place where they're struggling a little bit to either get up in the morning because depression has hit, being able to really have that voice and ask for what they need. And honestly, one thing I see a lot is people tend to stay in situations and relationships that don't serve them, and they do it out of obligation. They do it out of not wanting to hurt somebody. They might do it out of there's something that they need from that relationship and they can't see themselves outside of it. They can't see themselves finding something better. And so because of witnessing some of those things in my work and actually experiencing some of these things I'm going to talk about today myself, I really wanted to talk about my latest work and why I'm doing it and the things that are most impactful to an individual when you're willing to take it in. And so the work that I've been doing really has to do with mastering one's emotions. And we always wonder, what does mastering emotions really mean? Because we say we don't want to be controlled by them. And sometimes we are trying to move away from those things that don't feel so good. And sometimes we can't move forward because we're always looking back about an experience that we had and thinking that every experience from our past will somehow in our present keep repeating itself. And so we get stuck sometimes. And so when I started to really like look at my life and the places where I felt that I could be more empowered in who I am and stepping forward. I found that I was holding back a lot. I was holding back in spaces because I'm a pretty strong influence in the room sometimes. And it's only because I'm passionate about something. And so sometimes that can be taken the wrong way. It can be taken that I'm interrupting and somebody's not getting to finish that thought and share what they want. People might think that I don't think they're capable of taking a skill and running with it. It couldn't be further from the truth, right? So a lot of my life, even just recently, I felt misunderstood. I felt like I needed to dim a little bit of who I was, and I wasn't speaking up to things. I stayed in places I needed to move away from. And what I realized, instead of this moving away from, I need to move towards a place where I feel empowered to show up who I am. I'm not dimming down. I am speaking when things are not going in a way that I want them to, but I'm also doing one other thing. And this is the thing that I think was the biggest silver lining here, that biggest opportunity for growth. And that's this. When you are in a relationship and you're just first meeting someone, it doesn't matter whether it's personal, professional, or anything other, right? And I learned that when you know what it is that you have the right to have, and so, one of the things that I would say is, I believe I have the right to be seen, heard, and valued. That's a very strong core belief for me. And knowing that, then when I go into relationships and meet people, I'm actually saying, this is what I want from the relationship. This is how I need it to show up. And really, are you willing to, and can you be in this place to meet me here? And you find out early whether the person can or cannot. And that is so valuable, because when you do that and you communicate it to that person, and then you do this one thing that a lot of times we forget to do, but it's so important. We ask the other person to do the same thing. Imagine what happens when you've shared your values and what you need and want and desire to have happen, and the other person gets the opportunity to do that too. Well, then you set boundaries for both sides. I've always thought that you set boundaries when things were bad. You set boundaries when you need to protect your time, your energy, and sometimes your safety. And really, it's the opposite. You set your boundaries with the other person so you can go into a nice relationship knowing that you want mutual things, the why the relationship should even exist. And the biggest thing that I find that people also are challenged with is being able to communicate them. So I've always been in the space where I know what I want and, out of life and what needs to happen. And I think that I tell people, what my preferences are as far as my boundaries. But honestly, what you have to do so a person can actually see those boundaries is tie them back to what you feel that you deserve, what you value most. And when you're doing that and you put those into I statements, you can really send out something that's really clear and concise that another person can grab onto. And like, I want to take you through just an example, just real quickly, of how this would work. And so I have the right to ask for my needs to be met. Very high arching value system. So not real specific. And some of my core values, we talked about those. I want to be able to express my passion. I want to see that there's some freedom in what it is that we do in the relationship. And I want the other person to have some integrity in our relationship. I want them to care about being there for me. That reciprocity, that's really super important. And so to set a boundary, let's say I'm meeting you for the first time and I want those things. So I would say something like this. I want our relationship to be successful. Since reciprocity is one of my core values, I need you to care about the relationship just as much as I do. And when you don't do that, then I feel disconnected. And when I feel more of a connection, then I feel like we can do a lot more things together and that we're together for the right reasons. And so you can see right there, I've tied my rights. I've tied some of my core values. I've communicated these in I statements to you. And the other thing too is like when something is going to go, wrong or fall off or miscommunication happens, at the same time that you're setting these boundaries, you also talk about what will happen when the boundaries aren't honored. I'm not going to say breaking boundaries, pushing boundaries, nudging boundaries. I'm just saying they're not honored because that's a little bit different in my world. And so let's say if I felt like that you weren't giving to the relationship in the way that it felt genuine and that you really wanted to show up and be there for me, then what I would do is I would say when that happens, is it okay if I bring up when I feel a little bit anxious, when I feel like you're not coming to the relationship in the way that I need you to? And so you would know, or you would say whether or not you would entertain me speaking to it, right? So I'm asking you, can I speak to you if I feel that way? And the boundaries are good and the person wants to honor them, they're going to say, yeah, let me know if I've overstepped my bounds, or if I'm not, like, you're feeling like I'm just not there for you. And when you do that, what happens is this magical thing. And the what I have in my head is that vision, or that visual rather, that two people are in a relationship and one person is experiencing a lot of personal things. And maybe they're not coming to the table and saying anything about that because they're private. And the other person's feeling like, oh, they're not coming around as much. And they're wondering why the distance, the not wanting to do things, you know, any of those things. Well, if two people realize that something's going on, it should feel comfortable and natural and normal to say, hey, I'm feeling really not connected right now because I'm observing you not calling me to go out like we usually do. We usually like to go out and go on a walk every Saturday afternoon, and we haven't been doing that for a while. So, you know, I want to understand why are we not doing that right now? Doesn't that sound much nicer than why the heck do you not call me? You don't care about me? Because that's what's probably going on in my head, is you don't care about me. We're not doing our usual things. And really, it's like figuring out from the other person's viewpoint what they're going through. And in a good relationship, you get to go back and forth.
Well, can I just ask you a question?
Absolutely.
So what happens when you set these boundaries or what have you in these different areas? And I have them as well. But the particular person that you want to have that relationship with continues to break the boundaries and doesn't want to improve. Is that something where you just have to decide to go your own way at a certain point in time, or just let it go and move on and not have that person in your life anymore? Because I've gone through that on several occasions this past year. It's been a very rough year for me in terms of relationship equity. So,
yes, that's a very good question. The reason why I can talk to this, because I've experienced it a couple times myself. I don't know a person out there that doesn't experience this. And that's why I'm so drawn to want to talk about it, because most people really want to work hard at maintaining and salvaging and trying to be the upper hand in the relationship to make it work. Sometimes, as much as you may want to do that, the other person not following through or showing in their actions, the words that they say, because they might say the right things at the time that you think, oh, they're going to try, or maybe they don't. And so the most healthy thing to do, the selfish thing to do, and probably I would say the most important thing to do, is you got to come first, right? You've got to know that this person right now, they're not a bad person. Their behavior is not what you are needing in the relationship. So they're not changing to honor your values and show up in a way that you would like. And that happens. We get into relationships and they start off really great. And then things change, life happens, and they're not the same. And sometimes it does mean walking away. And that's scary. Wow. I've stayed in relationships and not walked away because I thought, well, what if I just show up in a different way? What if I try harder? What if I do this? And because I've always felt like if you try hard enough, it'll happen. But the answer to that is no, it won't. If a person's not willing to shift or change or see a different way of being, and I don't mean that everyone should have to change to bend to another person, because I don't believe that either, but there is that piece where if you can't find that common purpose and meaning by why you're together, then the best thing to do is to, acknowledge to the person, I'm not getting the same out of this relationship that we once were. I'm saddened by that. But for me, I need to go a different direction and do me for a while. And I wouldn't say it's me and it's not you, it's me, because I hate that phrase 100,000%. But if you say that for me, the relationship is not where I need it right now in my life, and it might change, but for right now, I need to go and do me. And then you go, away peacefully, because I don't believe in ghosting people. I don't think that that's such a good idea. I think that it just sends like this message of hurt to the other person when you go silent on someone. I think you can just kind of distance yourself. But I think you should just say, I'm going a separate direction, this, and just be honest about it, and then do that. And then you know what? The moment you do that, there's the thing that happened for me, and I just didn't see it because I was too close in it, is that when you decide to do that, then that opens the space both in your life for another person to enter it. And those people, when you have your heart open, will, magically come find you, or maybe you find them. I'm not really sure exactly. I just know that it happens. And when that happens and you get into a relationship with someone that wants that reciprocity, that values being able to and wanting to be in your space doing things with you and that purpose, then that's the best feeling. But if you stay tied in that other relationship, it becomes toxic. Comes toxic for both people. It doesn't value anybody to do that. And so it's actually a nicer thing. We think we're hurting someone, and actually you're giving somebody a gift as well. They can go and work on themselves or do their things. And it just makes this space where letting go, you allow the good in. And then when you get that new friend or that new relationship, then, and it feels that way, it's like the best feeling. You're like, why did I stay and try to keep trying so hard to fix this thing that was not working? Because I think everyone should give it an honest effort and try to see if you can. I don't think you should just cut people out and walk the other way at the sign of something being hard. Cause there's times where we're going to go into conflict. We're going to disagree on things. And, at the end of the day, the test of the relationship is, can you totally disagree on something and come back together and go off, like you were before, and not have any, anger or frustration and not agreeing on something. That's how you know that you have a healthy, intact relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a catch 22. I find I'm like 50-50 on that, because I find that I've been burnt, like, especially in my family, I'm not saying I'm the best communicator, but I'm actually working on my communication, or trying to work on my communication. And I find sometimes we set different expectations when it comes to our family, right? You'll tolerate much more bad behavior when it comes to your family than you would with, like, for myself. When you say relationship, there's family, friend, romantic, partnership. Like, there's, to me, you have to kind of like niche it down to the different types of relationships that you're going towards. I mean, there's a reason, Linda, why I only have 101 people on my Facebook profile, because I find that if you want to have a quality relationship, you have to have less people in your life. That's just right. There's no point in me having 500 Facebook friends that I don't, right, that I don't communicate with, or if I don't, you know, when I have 100 people on there, I can keep track of 100 people pretty easily. But when it starts going above 150 people, I can wish you a happy birthday, but it's not like we're going to go have coffee anytime soon, that sort of thing, right? So I've always, in my life, I've focused on the quality, not the quantity. And sometimes that is maybe, I don't know, maybe that's come across as snobbish, but that was never my intention. And then the other thing you just said is that if you let someone go, then you're making room for somebody new. And then that's what I kind of call your vibe attracts your tribe, right? If you're vibrating, or if you're working on certain things, I mean, tangentially speaking, like we came in, our friendship took place because I was in another program and I was working on my communication, and you were one of the coaches, right? So,
yes.
Mm-hmm. And we just kept in touch, right? So, I do thank you for that. I haven't been really focusing on this podcast as much as I probably should. But that's for my own personal reasons. I've taken my own mental health breaks, right? So when I'm in the state, what I call the doomer state, when I'm not in the best of my mindsets, I don't really have a lot of bandwidth. I think we've talked about bandwidth before. If you realize in yourself that you don't always have the best state of mind or the best frame of mind and always have the best bandwidth to develop your relationships, and you must also give that same courtesy to other people, from my perspective, right? You have to say, well, maybe they're not in the best state of mind right now, but hey, maybe we can come back and revisit this in a month or 3 months or 6 months, or, you know, God forbid, a year or longer. Like I have gone from not talking to people for years, and then all of a sudden, hey, you know, we're talking again. So it's kind of a multifaceted, I wouldn't say issue, but I would say that interpersonal communication, I mean, it seems to be your bread and butter. I wouldn't say that it's my area of expertise. I would say that mental health and getting from a doomer to a bloomer state is more my area. Interpersonal communications, I guess I work on it myself, but I wouldn't call myself a coach in that area. In terms of your latest project, what are you working on right at the moment?
I'm so glad you asked, because it's one of the most exciting, impactful projects to date that I'm working on. And we call ourselves the Quantum Freedom Strategists. And we're a group of three coaches. So one man, two women. And we felt that right now in the world, we've got pandemic, we've got Ukraine, we've got all these different issues going on in the world. And I think people have been going inward with themselves, and they've been doing a lot of thinking. And so we thought that we would offer a program or a summit, 12 weeks, where we really week by week go into topics that allow us to go into self, that allow us to use our voice, to think about how we communicate, to figure out where we put our energy to manifest this life that we want to live in, you know, in this purposeful way. And there's so many different themes that I can't even begin to touch upon them all. But at the end of the day, it all boils down to acknowledging and leaning into your emotions and flowing through them. Because, you know, there's a lot of times in our lives where we don't always know that we have someone we can talk to about things going on with us. Talking about emotions, there are defined differences between how men and women approach emotions, how they communicate in their relationships. And so it's bringing all of those things together in the safe space where we're going to like step into these things, where we're going to, you know, be intimate in conversation. We're going to be going through some coaching moments where people could really have this experience of looking inward and understanding who they are and be really thinking about what they value and why it's important, and go through all these different modalities to get there. And I honestly believe that this is going to help a lot of individuals, because when we're planning week by week for the program that we're going to be sharing with everyone, we're doing the work ourselves. We're finding out what we value, why it's important to us. We're finding out things about ourselves. We are exchanging our different modalities that we share. So we, you know, I mean, we have NLP, energy work, law of attraction, all of these different things. And we're going to give everybody this experience that they may not have known they were looking for it or that they needed it, but they knew at some point that they needed a safe space to be able to join a community where we care about one another. We want the best for everyone coming into our program, and we want everyone to have that program for them that we would have built for ourselves to go through our own things. And so it's been a labor of love to build this program. And it means, and you can tell from the way I describe it, it means a lot to me. And it's all possible because we met in a community, stayed in touch, and realized that we had so much to offer to the world. And we want to make sure that, you know, we bring that experience to people that need it most. And we see that time is now.
Hmm. And again, what is it called? It's quite a mouthful again. The quantum.
Okay. We're the Quantum Freedom Strategists. So okay. That is the collective name that we have given ourselves. And the program that we're offering is an emotional mastery summit.
Okay. 12 weeks.
Yes, 12 weeks.
When is that starting again?
Yes, we are starting April 1st, and there's no fool or joke at all. That is the day we're starting. We'll run for 12 weeks, and we're going to meet once a week for 60 to 90 minutes. And what's special about this is each and every week, we're going to build on the previous week to take a person through. And at the other end, they're going to be transformed in the way that they think and view the world and how they're able to feel confident in showing up, which is, to me, the best of all worlds.
And is this for regular folks, or is this targeted regular folks, I should say, like nine to five type people? Or because lots of them are lots of these summit. What I'm asking is it exclusively for 9 to 5 or regular type people, or is it for entrepreneurs only sort of thing? What is, in your experience, what is your target audience?
The target audience, I would say for everyone. It's not for entrepreneurs. It's not for coaches. It's for the individual. And the people that are most going to get the most out of this experience are those people that are willing to do some work on themselves and open up, be curious about other modalities. And really, their intention when they join our 12-week summit is to really expand on being able to find that sense of self, the grounding that you need as you're going through life. And when tough things hit, have that toolkit of what to draw out, what they can use in that moment to acknowledge an emotion, fall into it, move through it, and not let them get stuck. Because if you want that and you're willing to do that, then that's the type of person that's going to come into this. It's not for the person that wants to stay stuck in the past. It's not for the person that's not willing to change. It has to be that you want to take where you are and take inventory of where you're at and where you could be, because we all have things that we want to work on. Myself included, I've gone through 3 transformations and they've all been distinctly different. And it's because of that mindset that I have, that I apply just as much to my physical being as I do my mental health and well-being.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like you got a lot on your plate right now.
I do. I can do all the things on my plate because of this mindset that I have. Take care of me first. That's my physical well-being, my mental well-being. And then I guess my other one that I don't always talk to a lot, I have this creator in me that needs to go out and serve the world using my gifts. And so I can't do any of those things if I'm not working on myself and I'm not putting myself first. I couldn't do it. There'd be no way. I would burn out and be done.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been in a bit of a creative rut. So I'm looking forward to some spring and some new energy.
Yes.
So it's been, I don't know. This has been a while since I've got on the microphone and actually decided that, hey, I want to do some stuff on podcasting again. I don't know. I've never considered myself a coach, so I'm not really in that space. So, it's more of a, I don't even know what the word is. I just kind of am what I am.
I see you as a teacher, actually. I see you as a teacher. I see you as a community builder. I see you as someone that cares deeply about a lot of things. And you do that through your podcasting.
I think maybe teacher would be probably the more accurate. I think that would be like, you know, I came out of a teaching background, but I would say that's where my comfortability is for sure. And as we progress here, I think doomer bloomers will have some some aspect of that. I just, at this point in time, I'm teaching myself.
Yes. And that's where we have a common shared thing here. I just talked about how I'm teaching myself to go through all these different ways of providing sense of self and stepping out in the world. And you're doing the same thing, really. We're getting in touch with who we are and we're being, you know.
Yeah.
We're not always having to do all the time. We're being, and that's important to have that balance.
Yeah. And for me right now lately, guys, like if anyone else is really listening to the podcast, I'm just taking some time for myself. Because I once again, I got put through another mental health crisis and I had to deal with it. I'm better now, but I ended up in the hospital and taking some time for myself over the Christmas holidays and into the new year. So, you know, if you are a listener and you haven't heard an episode come out for months, it's not that I haven't thought about you guys, because I do, but I honestly need to do the things required for myself before I can serve a higher purpose. And I'm honestly just starting to get my legs back again, you know? So, you know, this is why I invited Linda back. This is why we're having kind of a improvised conversation about her projects. And you know, if you guys, I don't know, like I can, Linda, if you give me the links, I will set it up so that it'll be the first thing that comes up on the page. If anyone wants to join on to, because we got, it's March 12th, so you got a little over 3 weeks left to make a decision, maybe find out some of the areas in your life you want to work on. April 1st, that's a good start date, actually, I think. So what is the course called again?
Yes, it's Mastering Your Emotions Summit.
Mastering Your Emotions Summit. And what are the three coaches? Yourself?
Yes, and it'll be Steve.
Okay.
And July.
And okay.
Those are our first names, and we refer to ourselves as the Quantum Freedom Strategists.
Okay. And this is your collaboration that you're going to be working on starting April 1st. I'm sure that you still have some fine tuning to do on it.
We do. And I'd also want to say that we're growing our coaching family. So we are three right now, but we are expanding. And so this program is filling up. We're excited to jump in on April 1st and really take everyone on this space where they can do the things that you just were even describing of taking time for yourself, getting that balance in your life, and really just, you know, taking care of yourself. And emotions are just one facet of that. There's so many other things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've always focused on the health, wealth, and the wisdom, right? And kind of go from there, and the rest kind of takes care of itself. Those have always been the three pillars that I have tried to follow along with. Other than that, Linda, is there anything you'd like to speak to?
I just really want to acknowledge you today for opening up the space, having this conversation with me today, so we can really, you know, have that time to connect. And you're right. The people that we have in our circles, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. And with you, I love every time we get together, and whether it's been a few weeks or a few months, when we join back up, we just pick up where we left off. And so thank you for opening this up today.
You're welcome, Linda. I appreciate you as well. I mean, like I said, I've been working on my mental my mental resiliency is coming back, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm here on the microphone, I'm actually enjoying myself.
That was the intent.
You know, and I was just like, it's like, hey, maybe I should maybe try and do this a little more often, guys. So that's pretty much all for me. I will put all of the links and the descriptions in the for the quantum. I can't say it again. Quantum
Freedom Strategist.
Quantum Freedom Strategist coaching program starting April 1st. All the Doomer Bloomer links are there. Buy some merch, guys. That's what you got to do. Buy some Doomer Bloomer merch. I have high hopes for this podcast. Once things get a little more smoothed out with me, we can start having some more regular episodes again. Maybe John will come back. My brother, perhaps. Not quite sure at this point where the podcast is going to go this year. We're in season 3. Season 3 of the Doomer Bloomer podcast. Available on all of your favorite platforms. Spotify, Google, Apple, and wherever you get your podcast episodes. All right. Cheers from Will S. Namaste. Peace.
Cheers.
Yeah.